This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel, and now, old lyrics, new music. The words of the English poet William Blake still resonate 185 years after his death. Blake, who was also a painter and printmaker, wrote Tiger, Tiger, Burning Bright in the Forest of the Night. His poem Jerusalem was set to music by Sir Charles Hubert Parry a century after it was written, and it became a staple hymn in Anglican churches. And did the countenance divine shine forth upon our clouded hills, and was Jerusalem builded here among these dark satanic mills? Blake called many of his poems songs, and over the years composers have set them to music. This is how Benjamin Britten set Blake's song The Fly to music to be sung by a baritone, in this case, baritone Gerald Finley.
Little fly, little fly. My summer's day, my thoughtless end.
And now here is a delightful surprise, a new album from Martha Redbone, a new take on the songs of William Blake. Here's her version of The Fly.
Martha Redbone's album is called The Garden of Love, Songs of William Blake. She and John McEwen and Aaron Whitby have created these new settings of 12 Blake songs, and she joins us now from New York. Welcome to the program. Terrific album.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
And tell us what led you to this project. Why William Blake?
I'm a lyricist and write lots of songs for people. And, you know, we had his book of poetry out, and the first song that jumped off the page was a Poison Tree. Just the title sounded so naturally Appalachian, which is where my family's from. And the verse says, you know, I was angry with my friend. I told my wrath did end. And to me, it was just almost as if the song had always existed in the words.
Yeah, the fit with Appalachia seems at many points to be a very natural one. On the other hand, you've got to do a lot of thee-ing and thou-ing in these songs. Art thou not a fly like me? You know, it must be a little awkward singing those lyrics.
Well, for us, you know, the church is a big part of mountain life. We always have the Bible, and the language in the Bible is very similar. So to me, it wasn't anything unusual.
You did your thee-ing and thou-ing once a week.
That's right.
Did you go back to listen to what other people had done with the Blake songs or go straight at it?
You know, I didn't at the time. I mean, I kind of went through all the poetry and looked at the imagery and things that spoke to me about the lay of the land and the church and just things that reminded me of home. And then once we had written like the bulk of the songs, I said, I wonder if anybody's done this. And so Allen Ginsberg had his collection of works. And then there were a couple of other artists. But for me, I felt the messages in all the songs that we ended up setting music to were so relevant. I just wanted to do a whole album of his works.
You know, you mentioned some of the songs that you went back and listened to. This is one that composer Rodney Money did of the Blake song Garden of Love. And this is actually a recording of it by the Honors Women's Chorus of Apex High School in Apex, North Carolina. A little bit of it. It's a beautiful composition from a few years ago. I'd like people to hear Martha Redbone, your setting of the title track from the album, Garden of Love.
And I went to the heath and the wild, to the thistles and
I could believe that William Blake came from Kentucky or West Virginia hearing that tune.
The Garden of Love, to me, just sounded swampy, mm-hmm. you know, and it's about sexual repression, in this case, you know, because of the church. And we ended up finding two stanzas from his notes that we used as a setup to the introduction to this, about someone who's laying on a dank riverbank, you know, where love lay sleeping, you know. I lay me down upon a bank where love lay sleeping. I heard among the rushes dank, weeping, weeping. And I thought that was a great setup for the crying with frustration, and then I went to this garden of love and then saw all this imagery. And for me, it's just memories of my grandma on her front porch.
And Blake was kind of a libertine character for his day, way back
Absolutely.
In the early 19th
yes.
century. Did you become more of a Blake fan through all of this?
Absolutely. You know, we studied him in high school. I loved his work back then. So to rediscover Blake in such an intimate way, and also to discover how much his words fit the imagery of Black Mountain and Clinch Mountain and the Great Smokies, where my family's been for hundreds and hundreds of years, this connection to me just felt so natural. And I wanted people to be reminded of the beauty of his messages and the relevance that rings so true today. You know, his sentiments are mercy, pity, and peace. You know, is the world's release in the song I Heard an Angel Singing. And to me, that just sounded like a hymn, so I did that as a hymn.
Well, Martha Redbone, thank you very much for talking with us about the new album, The Garden of Love, Songs of William Blake.
Thank you.
I heard a devil curse over the heath. Mercy could be no more if there was nobody poor, and pity no more could be if all were happy as we. At his curse the sun went down and the heavens gave a frown.
You can hear tracks from Martha Redbone's new album at npr.org. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.